While I am certain that you do not remember the title of the sermon I preached at last year's Music Sunday, anyone remembers? You might remember the name BTS, the South Korean boy band that I mentioned when I preached. I talked about how the group had made history by rising to the number one spot on the Billboard 200 albums chart and also breaking into the top 10 of the Hot 100 singles chart. After last year's worship service, I received two different comments from worshipers about the particular sermon illustration that I gave. An older church member said, "Pastor, what was the name of the band you talked about? I never heard of that name." "Probably no one else knew what you were talking about." You know, we are older congregation. We are older people. Then another church member said these words, "Pastor, my daughter smiled when you were talking about BTS because she knew who they were. And by the way, my son loves their music too." With their global popularity continuing to rise, I am sure more of us by now have heard the name BTS or even heard one of their songs on the radio. In fact, because of their ARMY, which is an acronym for Adorable Representative MC for Youth, BTS is the most tweeted about celebrity with more than 20 million Twitter followers. Since last spring, BTS albums have hit the top of the US charts two more times, becoming the first group since the Beatles to earn three number one albums in less than a year. Usually, tickets for their concerts in major cities around the world are sold out instantly. It doesn't even take an hour, and are resold at higher premiums. Some people would spend thousands of dollars to go to that concert. By the way, they are in the middle of another world tour, and today they are holding the second day of a concert series at London's Wembley Stadium, which should be starting soon, probably in an hour. The BTS ARMY is passionate about the K-pop band and their songs. If you have not done so yet, try to watch a BTS concert video on YouTube. You will see a packed stadium of people singing along with a band. It's really fascinating to hear more than 60,000 people singing in my native language. And I can tell you that their Korean pronunciation is pretty good. This incredible global phenomenon of BTS fandom is a reminder to us that music is communal and universal. Music binds us together, and this happens across racial, cultural, religious, and yes, even linguistic barriers. Truly, as the American writer Sarah Dissin said, music is a great uniter, an incredible force, something that people who differ on everything and anything else can have in common. Or, as the American music artist Philip Sweet pointed out, it's interesting how music can knock down a wall and be an open connection between you and someone else where something else can't. When music comes along, it just opens your heart a little more. Indeed, music is a powerful unifying force and an integral part of the human experience. So it should not be surprising to find many biblical references of music playing a big role in the communal life of God's people. Throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there is a strong emphasis on music, and we see strong support for its use in worship. In the Old Testament, music was used in conjunction with the different activities. Our ancestors of faith sang and played musical instruments at important events as expressions of reverence, love, and gratitude for God. And their singing was often accompanied by dancing. Moses and the Israelites sang together a song of victory after escaping Pharaoh's army and safely crossing the Red Sea. Moses' sister Miriam also sang as she led women into singing and dancing. And Moses must have been a good singer because he chose to sing his farewell speech to his people instead of speaking his speech. He sang his speech in the melodies. King David was also well known for his musical gifts. When he was young, he played the harp to soothe King Saul whenever he became mentally agitated and disturbed. And a legacy of his kingship was the organization of magnificent temple choir of, guess how many people? 4,000. 4,000 singers and musicians. We thought to have this joyful notes and chancel choir together here, big choir, we thought that was awesome. Can you imagine? Not 400, but 4,000 people singing and playing musical instruments. In its original form, the entire book of Psalms was a book of songs. They were sung by individual believers as well as communally in public settings. Biblical scholars believe that many parts of the books of prophets also were not read but sung. Though music is not mentioned in the New Testament as much as in the Old Testament, we can assume that music played an important role in the life of the early church as well, since their roots were in the tradition of the Old Testament. And there are a handful of instances of singing during Jesus' time and the early church found in the New Testament. Gospel writers recorded that Jesus and his disciples sang together after their Last Supper before they went out to the Mount of Olives. That was before Jesus was arrested and suffered. The book of Acts recorded that the Apostle Paul and his ministry partner Silas sang praises to God while they were in prison. In his letters to the churches in the cities of Corinth, Ephesus, and Colossae, Paul exhorted the early Christians to sing whenever they got together. Specifically, he urged them to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Revelation, the final book in the New Testament, has 16 different songs. Probably along with the four songs related to the birth of Jesus found in the Gospel of Luke, such as Mary's song, Elizabeth's song, Angel's song, and Simeon's song. These songs in Revelation were among the hymns and spiritual songs Paul was urging the early Christians to sing at their gatherings. And music continues to play an important role in the life of the church today. Just look at us. Our worship services begin and end with music. Today, the beautiful prelude music the Carolyn Choir played on their bells prepared us for worship. We come from the very frantic world still with things to be done. So our mind is occupied with so many things, yet we come and the music prepares us to be calm and ready to praise God. And the postlude, Shine will play on the organ at the end of the service, will send us forth to the world as bold disciples of Jesus Christ. Each Sunday, we worship God with beautiful melodies of praise poured out from our lips and played on our musical instruments as we embrace the great diversity of music that is there to honor God and stir our hearts to sing. Music touches our minds and teaches us about our faith. Music calms our anxious hearts and fills them with hope and peace. Music allows us to feel God's love for us and also to express our love for God. Music awakens a spiritual longing in the deepest corners of our hearts. Music positions us to better connect with God and with one another. Music helps us to be challenged and changed by the gospel. Indeed, music has the power to make a transformative difference in the life of the community of Christian believers. And perhaps that is why today's scripture reading, Psalm 150, concludes the whole book of Psalms with a call to praise. In other words, a call to music. The psalm starts and ends with the phrase, "Praise the Lord," which is repeated as "Praise God" many times in between, altogether 13 times, "Praise the Lord" or "Praise God" in this just six verse, the psalm of six verse. Here the Hebrew word translated as "Praise the Lord" is halaya, and it consists of two words, halal and yah. The first word means praise, and the second is an abbreviated form of Yahweh, the name of God. So as you can guess, alleluia comes from this word. This short psalm of six verses not only calls us to praise God, but also tells us where, why, how and who should praise God. First, praise God where? The psalmist says, both in the sanctuary and in the firmament. In other words, we are called to praise God both here in the church and out in the world, wherever God's power reaches. We praise God both in the church, out in the world. We praise God. We praise God here in the church and not in the world. We praise God not only just once a week here in the gathering of Christian believers, but every day and anytime and anywhere in our daily living. Second, praise God. Why? Because of God's mighty acts, and also because of God's greatness. We praise God because God has done what, because of what God has done for us. And we praise God simply because of who God is for us. We praise God even the times when we cannot find anything God has done for us. But our hearts are just filled with, we are heavy with so many things going on in our lives. And we cannot find any gratitude in our heart. Still, we praise God. Because we praise God because the God whom we know and continue to experience along our journeys of faith is faithful, steadfast, and loving to all generations. No matter what life brings our way, we know that God will always be there with us and for us. We know that God will always be in control. So we praise God. And third, praise God. How? The psalmist says, suggests, with musical instruments and with dance. Imagine the sanctuary filled with the sounds of all the musical instruments mentioned in the psalm. Trumpet, flute, harp, all kinds of strings. I imagine violin, viola, cello, and double bass. And he mentions pipe and cymbals. Loud sound. And add to them the bells and the organ and the piano and any other musical instruments. Please let me know if you can play any kind of musical instrument. It is the gift God has given to you to use for God's glory. And one more thing, praise God with dance. We are not really good at this. I know our African members of our church are very good at this. And I encourage you, really encourage you, to be bold, to be yourself, and lead the rest of our congregation in praise with dancing. So we praise God not only with our voices, but with our whole bodies, dancing, raising, waving our arms, and we did thumping our feet, right? So that's what the psalmist says. Praise God with dancing, moving around. And finally, who is to praise God? Everything. The psalmist says, everything that has breath to take. So with all God's people in the world and with all the living things in God's whole creation, in heaven and on earth, with all our might, with, as the founder of Methodism, John Wesley said, with good courage, we praise God. Truly, music is God's gift and means to communicate God's blessings. God uses music in our worship to touch our hearts and lives in a special way. So thanks be to God for this wonderful gift of music and for God's abundant blessings it channels to us. Amen.